My friends, if you could be here and see this experience, we're on this incredible veranda. Chef Eric is chomping at the bit because he's only got two recipes, which really is the equivalent of four, because you've got so much process to go through, and you're going to be cooking the most unique you've ever had to cook on Chef of the Fat Man.
Yeah, one of the recipes especially is extremely unique. We're going to start with it, actually. Two recipes. One is called sopa.
Can I say it?
Yeah, please do.
Okay. Sopa de queso.
Well, if you were an Italian, I guess that would be fine. Sopa de queso.
All right. Yeah.
But no, your pronunciation was fine. It's just the emphasis was a little Italian.
And
you could have been an Argentina.
And explain, and explain it. A little bit of the recipe.
So, literally translated, it's cheese soup. But
oh man,
there's actually no cheese in the soup. There's little fritters that we make that are masa and cheese fritters that will go in the soup as part of the soup, and it's a chicken stock based soup. We're going to start with that one, but then the one after that is
the sandwich des milanesa.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Great. No, oh, that's good. That's good. Very good. So,
thank you very much.
Sandwich de milanesa, which they had beautiful milanesa cuts at the little market we went to in Esteli. I was very excited to see that. But the typical ingredients I use to make that with, they don't have. So I'm substituting some ingredients, which should be kind of interesting. It'll make a different type of milanesa than we've made before, but in the same general guidelines. And then we're going to top it with some stuff we'll talk about a little
stuff.
Bit later.
Yeah. There's a techie culinary term. Yes.
But let me get started here. Okay. Because the first thing I've got to do is I've got to make the masa for the fritters. So what we're doing is we're using a corn flour. Now this is, if you go in the States, you'll see maseca, M-A-S-A-C-A. It's all in three. It's on three levels. And you'll find it in the international aisle of any of the grocery stores. So I have 2 cups that I've put into a mixing bowl.
Now it's a neat mixing bowl. It's kind of it's like a deep aluminum pot with a metal handle on it. This is kind of cool for you. You're really grooving on this.
Yeah. Well, you should. We'll talk about what I'm cooking on in just a second because it's not a big green egg. It's very much actually something that in Argentina you have something very similar to this all the time. They're using lomo, wood to fire the stove. It's not a
not
a grill.
Lump charcoal. It's real wood.
Yeah, it's real wood, and it's not a grill. It's a it's actually a stove. So I'm going to add an egg to this 2 cups of masa, and I'm going to also add. It's not exactly in the recipe, so I'm going to do it anyway.
Well, why am I not surprised? You come to Nicaragua and you change the recipe.
Well,
but that's all right.
Just a little bit. Actually, I'm doing this at the suggestion as one of the fine ladies that. Is helping us out here. So I'm adding in very finely diced red bell pepper. And then that's about half of a red bell pepper. And I'm adding about half of a standard onion. Couldn't find real sweet.
Well, unfortunately, real sweet is not in Nicaragua yet, but I'm sure it will be one day.
All right. And now I'm going to add, I've got some water, about 3/4 cup of water. And I have achiote, which is a seasoning. And you can find this in the States. It's going to go in. It's soaking in about 3/4 cup of water. Okay, so now if I mix,
I have a question for you. With yes. Achiote, would you normally mix it with water, or you add it as a dry ingredient, or does it just matter on the recipe?
When you mix it with water, it helps sort of infuse all the water, so you get the flavor throughout the masa. Okay, so I'm mixing this all up, and the texture that we're going to want to get to is where it's. You know, pushing together but not sticky, okay? So I'm going to add some salt to this because, gosh, you got to have some salt in anything.
Absolutely.
And it's going to be about, can you hear me shaking it?
I saw some shaking today, but it was at the cigar rolling table.
Yeah.
All of us were shaking.
All of us, right. That's about a teaspoon of salt. And I'm also going to grab a little bit of white pepper. And I'm using white pepper because I don't want to discolor. Have a little flex, you know, in the fritter. So a little bit of white pepper in here. If I can get this open. And by the way, this brand we're using, Madilla, is the one in the international aisles at all of the markets, you know, where you get the cheaper spices.
Yes.
Instead of the expensive spices that come in little packs. Or in a Mexican meat market, The advantage of that is these tend to be much fresher and yes. have all the essential oils preserved in them because they are such a higher turnover use of them. So I'm going to keep mixing. All right, so I'm a little bit dry here. I'm going to add some water.
And this is, once again, by feel, basically.
Yeah, this is by feel, and I'm going to get in here with my hands in a second. But I want to just incorporate everything together as much as possible. So right now it's sort of at a, well, it sort of looks like a little rocky almost, right? Now that water should just about do it. So let me get in here now.
Now, did you wash your hands since you were rolling tobacco today?
I did. If you look over there, not only washed them, but yes. I've got my little hand sanitizer.
Oh, that's very nice.
So we want these, we're going to want these to get to a consistency where they're not sticky, but they're sort of elastic.
Okay? Like a loose Play-Doh.
Yeah, not too loose, though, because we do want it to hold up as in the oil. So I'm going to take a little bit more masa, add it to it, just to dry it out a little bit. Because once you get in there and you start working with your hands and the moisture really starts moving around, you'll see that the texture is going to change and you're going to need to maybe add a little bit of water, take a little bit of, or add a little bit of the cornmeal. Okay, so now we're getting to that point where as I roll it around, it's sticking to itself, not to the sides, not sticking to my hands. So that's about
the size of a 16-inch softball.
Yeah, it's a nice size softball size. So I'm going to put that in there and cover it up with a towel.
Do you have to be so violent the way you slammed it in the bottom of the bowl?
Yeah. I'm going to cover it with a towel. I'm going to let that sit there for a little bit until we are ready to make our fritters. So that will sit aside. And then what we're going to be doing next is setting up the pot to start the process of the soup. So while I go over there and figure out how to use this oven system, you guys can talk.
Well, you know, and this brings up a great point because, you know, Chef Eric, corn is the first recipe, and it's very, very important to the culture here in Nicaragua because the Nicaraguan culinary arts really date back to pre-Columbian times. And, my friends, that's why you have so many ingredients in Central and Latin America, South America, so many similar ingredients with variations because, quite frankly, you know what it is, Tom? It's like a fine cigar. It blends different. They use the same ingredients, but blend it a little different, and thus it changes the country that you're in. But corn is such a critical, critical part. And, you know, Tom, when I talked about the recipe and the cigar,
right.
They're very similar.
Very similar. In fact, as you see the blends with Don Pepin Garcia, you see that he takes such pride and effort in producing blends that are not just a part of the culture of cigars, but are unique to his style of preparing the soil, preparing the ground for everything that will be planted, and then ultimately to produce the tobacco that will yield the quality of cigar that we're going to enjoy today.
In fact, the cigars we've enjoyed since we've been here, and literally, even Michael, who's over there crunching on something we're going to talk about here in just a minute, it's good to be the engineer sometimes because you grab the first free samples that come across. But, you know, Tom, for years, Cuba had been the benchmark for cigars, and Don Pepin, especially in the latter years of the success of Cuban cigars, really reached its zenith due to the humble farmer that became the voice of the construction of the Cuban cigar. You can't get that experience in any other cigar than my father's.
No, you're right. It's a unique thing. Cubans have carried the tradition that was birthed in Spain and ultimately brought to this side of the world. It brought a whole new experience through Cuba to countries like Nicaragua because cigars were being made there with such care and quality, and now we're able, due to the fact that the Cuban population has spread around the world, we now have cigars made with the same quality right here in Nicaragua.
And here's what's amazing. You can take the same ingredients and the same process and give it to three chefs. But there's always going to be one that stands out exceptional. And that is what Don Pepin cigars are all about. He won the highest awards the country gives to that industry. He had the biggest house, the biggest car. This guy, and never did he let them forget, I am but a mere humble farmer. But the greatest cigar manufacturers in Cuba said, you listen to that humble farmer. He knows what it's all about. And knowing what it's all about, you know where we're at. The table is set. The cigars are fixing to get lit. And when we come back, we're going to sit down for a few minutes with the humble farmer, the man who has brought the finest of the traditions of Cuban cigars to our country via My Father Cigars, Cutters, and Outland. It's Chef of the Fat Man, live from Esteli, Nicaragua. It is the place to be, baby!